members. Welcome to the Jobs and Economic Growth Committee. We do have a quorum present this morning, and we're going to start off this morning by hearing from Chair Magnus. Senator Magnus, welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad to be in front of the committee.
Absolutely.
I was looking for jobs and trying to do what I can to support your efforts and the committee efforts, Mr. Chairman. Our efforts today are we're going to be working on off the House file, House File 529, since that's roaring through the House and, in fact, passed the House just recently at a good majority of 124-8. And so we'll work off that. So if someone, Mr. Chairman, would move this House File 529, I would appreciate that.
Senator Howell.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House File 529.
All right. And if there's anyone else that'd like to testify besides those at the folks at the table, please be ready. Senator Magnus.
And also, Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment. Since this has gone through the House, I'd like to match up with the House language. I have an amendment, the A1 amendment. Do you have the amendment in?
I do not see it.
Ms. Fontaine.
Mr. Chair and Senator Magnus, we do not have an A1 amendment, but if we have the House file in front of us, are you talking about Section 1 that was added for the State Building Code? I think we can just go off the House file, and we wouldn't need to amend that since we're just doing the House file.
All right.
We're not taking up the Senate file.
That's great with me, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. That puts us into the shape we need, and we'll have it matched up with the House file, and we'll just be like corn sliding through a goose, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Corn Syrup.
For the farmers around here. Okay. Mr. Chairman and members, we've got a situation where we have these translucent panels in the roofs of buildings, or commonly known as skylights, members, and we have some problems there when folks go up on the roofs for various reasons. For example, some of them were shoveling snow off the building. They don't know they've been hired to come in and do that, or a relative comes in to help you, and you have the situation where someone doesn't know where those skylights are, and they're not built up to the code. We would like to see it and fall through, and we've had some fatalities from that. We've had some serious injuries from that. We've had one case that I'm aware of where the police responded to a burglary call. Went up on the roof. The roof had been painted, and the consequence, the skylight was painted the same way. It's in the dark. They didn't know it. Through the skylight, they go. And so, we've had some problems here, and we're trying to resolve that. And so, Mr. Chairman, I've got some experts here. Well, an expert here from the Department of Labor and Industry. My friend Don Rakowski is here to help us with the bill a little bit and tell us his thoughts and why we've got the bill in front of us.
Thank you. John, please identify yourself for the committee, for the record.
John Rakowski with the Department of Labor and Industry. Thank you for this opportunity to hear this bill. Early in the session, a new House member from Little Falls, Representative Mike Lemire, came to me asking for the department's assistance because the fatality that Senator Magnus was referring to was a close friend of his in Little Falls, and he was a farmer with 7 kids, and he fell through the skylight. And as Steve Hernick, my colleague here at the department, will tell you, that as these things age, they apparently are extremely hard to differentiate between the color of the roof. And he fell to his death, and so he leaves a wife and 7 kids. And we have been hearing for several years at the department from insurance companies about these buildings collapsing because of the lack of the fact that they aren't subject to the state building code. So we decided We had a lot of snow this winter. There's been one fatality and at least three serious injuries. We worked with the representative, and Steve Hernick, my colleague to my left, can explain to you what the change in the building code exactly does.
All right. Again, please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, my name is Steve Hernick, H-E-R-N-I-C-K. I'm with the Department of Labor and Industry. We were originally contacted by House Research when the member was interested in possible language for agricultural buildings, and the situation existed where the translucent panels are put in the same plane as the roof, that when there's snow on the roof or when other situations occur, it's difficult to tell the roof from the translucent panels. The request was essentially for initially for agricultural buildings that are exempt from the building code, and this provision would only put into effect the requirement that the translucent panels be supported. Amendment that was added to make it consistent with the House bill actually puts it into the building code also to emphasize that provision. The situation is that currently the pole barn providers we've talked to are starting to go away from putting them actually in the plane of the roof, putting them on the top of the wall. But this was a situation where if they were put on the roof, that they needed to be supported consistent with the rest of the roof. There are translucent materials that would provide that level of support, or in the case of most pole barn structures, the trusses are 8 feet on center and the span truss to truss with 2x4 purlins. And so if the material itself wasn't substantial enough, someone would have to add an extra 8 foot 2x4 purlin or whatever was needed to reduce the span on the translucent panels. That was the language that was most generic and allowed the member to achieve what he was trying to do with regard to protecting those roofs.
Any questions? Senator Kielash.
Mr. Chair, is this going to require a change in manufacturing so that the translucent panel itself is strong enough to support the roof load that we're talking about, the man, for example, and is there that kind of material available currently?
Mr. Chair, Senator Kielash. There is that type of material available, but the way the bill is stated, you could add an additional support member to shorten the span of the translucent material. So it is as flexible as possible to allow a variety of materials, but there are materials on the market today that would meet it without any additional support.
Thank you.
Senator Magnus, so this applies both to new structures and also to existing structures. Would that be correct?
Mr. Chairman, it would be just a new. It would not be
just to new structures. All right. Any other questions for our panel right here? Any others? Senator Hull.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, as far as the replacement of those panels for existing buildings, would there be any thought that when they replace a panel, because I know several of those get brittle and they fall out, would it be a good idea to have it that there would be an upgrade when they replace these panels?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hall, I believe that the requirement would say if you're putting in a new panel, it would need to comply. And part of the problem is that initially the panels were fiberglass and they degradate with the sun. And so it would say that if you're putting in a new panel in this situation, it should comply.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Magnus. You know, my experience with the past agricultural organizations, my sense is that they're talking about this issue with their members. are you aware of any specific activities, or are you encouraging any activities through those agricultural associations to get the word out on this issue? Because I probably would have stepped across that panel myself, not knowing that it was not able to support the weight of a person.
Senator Magnus.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Peterson. We have not heard any opposition from the stakeholders. The Department of Labor and Industry has this on their website, and we'll update that and see. And also have other folks in the audience that have said they're willing to testify that they support the bill. So if you want to hear additional testimony.
Let's ask them to come up to the table now. Thank you. And please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. My name is Phil Raines with Associated Builders and Contractors. We got approached early in the session about this bill. Took it back to members who make these panels, who install these panels. We actually have people that actually have agricultural systems and use these panels. I think everybody's response to it was, this sounds like a good upgrade, something that we probably should be doing. The people that make them actually already encourage people to add curbing onto this type of material to make it more structurally sound. Because actually when you get two, three freeze thaw cycles in, A, the material becomes more brittle, and then you have expansion and they start leaking anyway. So just from a good business perspective, it's a good idea in the first place. Doesn't add a whole lot to the cost of the project. I think on average about $200 is kind of the top end of it. So we'd like to see this move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Raines. Any other questions? Anyone else that would like to testify? Senator Magnus, any other remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I appreciate you hearing the bill, and if you pass the bill, it would go directly to the floor, Mr. Chairman. So that would be the motion that Senator Howell.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Senator Howell renews his motion on House File 529 and to refer that to the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So moved.
Thank you, Senator Magnus. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you. Senator DeGryff is up next. Senator DeGryff, welcome to the far end of the table.
It is a long table. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I've been asked to bring forward a bill that has already gone through the House, and it's House File 569. What this bill amounts to is it basically cleans up some language. There was some confusion as to what a well contractor was allowed to do when they got onto a project. Typically, a well contractor was allowed to put in a water line, but when the water line came up where they wanted to put a hydrant onto it, basically there was some question whether they could put this hydrant on it and actually just turn the water on. Well, this bill was actually passed last year, but there was a sunset date put on it. And there was some language that was essentially cleaned up over this past year. The Plumbers Board and the well contractors have had conversations, and they came up with some language, and this language is basically non-controversial to either of them at this point, and also the Department of Labor and Industry is okay with it. So what we're really trying to do is just try to get this moved forward and match it up with catch up with the House.
All right, very good. Any questions? This is a quiet committee today. This is amazing. We've had so many wonderful conversations in this committee. All right. Are there others who would like to testify on this bill? Senate File 569 on Wells. All right. Would someone like to move this bill? Mr. Daly?
Mr. Chair, I move to recommend this pass.
All right, very good. Any discussion? Any further discussion? All right, let's vote. Senator Daley moves Senate file or House file 569 and that it be passed on to the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Thank you, Senator Greif. Peterson.
Yeah.
All right. Senator Peterson. Members, we do have Senator Metzen on our agenda. He is not with us. Hopefully he will join us before the end of the meeting today. Senator Peterson.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I have an A1 amendment that we need to get addressed in regard to this bill, but I'll also move Senate File 1130, and we'd like to move it directly to the floor of the members feel that this is something they want to move forward this morning.
All right.
The A1 amendment basically just cleans up some language in the existing bill. There's a number of features to this bill. I think it's been described in the past somewhat as a cleanup bill for the unemployment insurance. I would just like to touch on a main point that attracted me to this bill in particular, which can relate to a significant cost savings, and then I'd like to introduce a familiar face to you, Mr. Lee Nelson, as well, in regards to drafting all the bills relating to unemployment insurance here in Minnesota. Really, in Section 3, the thing that I think is warranted to be pointed out, this section in particular gives some flexibility to the commissioners of the Minnesota Management and Budget Office, as well as the Department of Employment and Economic Development jointly. And normally you might have some concern about giving more flexibility, but this is a situation where we're asking you to move the flexibility lower and give them the opportunity to reduce an interest rate. Currently, we pay interest on federal loans that come in to the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund when the fund is in a deficit, and the interest rates that are allowed by Minnesota law, and that range from 2% all the way up to 8%. The commissioners can move that percentage up and down, and they've really asked us to give them the flexibility to move this interest rate lower, down to 0.5%, and it really has the potential for saving about $20 million in this unemployment trust fund by the year 2012, and that would be dollars that employers actually pay into this fund to meet the unemployment expenses that they face. And so it's a real solid move, and I want to take this opportunity to recognize Mr. Nelson's effort to move this forward in terms of one of the things he'd like to get fixed and really bring some more fiscal attention and more frugality to the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund. I'll let Mr. Nelson comment on any of the other points that he may have or any questions that you may have as well. So.
All right. Prior to moving on to your person, let's go ahead and approve that amendment. So, Senator Peterson, did you move the amendment?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. All right. Very good. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. Right. Senator Peterson, please introduce your witness then. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Lee Nelson. I'm a legal counsel to the Unemployment Insurance Program in Minnesota. I want to thank Senator Peterson for sponsoring this legislation. It is the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council bill. It is cost neutral, except for Section 3, as Senator Peterson has alluded to. Section 3 will save Minnesota employers in calendar year 2012. We project $20 million because, as the Senator indicated, current law requires a minimum surcharge of 2%. And in fact, what will actually be needed is a surcharge closer to 0.5%. That surcharge will, in fact, in 2012, at 2%, will raise $30 million. We believe the interest costs on the federal loan will be closer to $10 million. So we're simply asking that we be given the flexibility so we don't charge Minnesota employers more than is necessary to pay the interest costs. And I think the summary done by legal counsel Carlin Fontaine is excellent. It describes every section, but every section is cost neutral. And as I say again, this was the Department Advisory Council bill, so it has at least the consensus of labor groups and business groups, or at least I should say no opposition from those groups that I'm aware of to date.
All right, very good. Questions for Senator Peterson or Mr. Nelson? Mr. Ho, Senator Ho.
Chair, Mr. Nelson, I'm just wondering about the financial impact of Section 1, Subdivision 19A, the expansion of the immediate family members. I agree with the premise there. I just heard you speak that there was no financial impact other than Section 3, and I'm wondering, I would think that expanding that would have some sort of a fiscal impact.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Howe, first thing I want to explain about that has nothing to do with the minor child whole issue that was before this committee some months ago. This is totally different. It will have, I've heard of one case to date where an individual quit to take care of a grandparent, quit the job, and that they cannot collect while they're taking care of the grandparent, but after they would stop taking care of the grandparent because maybe they passed away, maybe they went into a nursing home, or maybe they got better, then they're unemployed. And current law says if you quit to take care of a parent, spouse, or other person, but it doesn't include grandparent. Now, the only reason grandparent wasn't included, and I was at the table when that definition was put in, is because Senator Bonhoff and I, neither one of us have a living grandparent, so we never thought about it. Serious, that's literally what happened. I know of one case which has come up. And so I can't even say that that person will collect benefits,
sure,
because they have to meet all the other requirements. What I do know is that person was denied because they quit a job to take care of their parent. And again, they wouldn't collect immediately, but only after their taking care of their parent is completed. So that's why I say there's no fiscal impact in one case, and that person may not have collected anyway. So,
Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Nelson, could you please explain to me Section 4, the benefit account requirements? So what is the difference now in simple terms? So what are we changing? What is different from what we have?
Simple terms, the current law requires that you have earnings in at least two calendar quarters to qualify initially for benefits. And those earnings requirements are very, very minimal, $1,000 in one of the quarter and $250 in the remaining three quarters spread over. So you had to have worked in at least two quarters. We have instances where people can earn $10,000 and not qualify, and other people earn $1,250 and do qualify because they happen to be paid in two different quarters. The quarterly system is unfair. It's causing some people to be denied who worked a lot more than other people. So we're simply asking, let's turn it to a straight $2,400 in a year. Now, where $2,400 comes from is because it's cost neutral. We ran the numbers, and that so no more people are collecting, no more people are being denied. So it is cost neutral at $2,400. That's where the $24 comes from. But this way, it doesn't matter when you're paid the money. It's currently, like I say, it becomes very unfair when you're paid all in one quarter and you don't qualify. Even though you may have worked longer than someone who is paid in two quarters and does qualify. So we feel it's a fair way of doing it. And again, it's cost neutral. That's where the $2,400 came from.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Other questions? Are there others who would like to testify on this bill? All right, seeing none. Senator Peterson?
Mr. Chair, members, I'd like to move Senate File 1130 directly to the floor for consideration.
All right, Senator Peterson moves Senate File 1130 as amended to be moved to the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. All right. Thank you, Senator Peterson. We will reschedule Senator Metzen's bill for tomorrow, so we will hear that tomorrow. And there being no further business before the committee, we stand adjourned. Thank you, everybody.